Well, good morning, everyone. We certainly greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus. That's certainly why we're here, these meetings this weekend, is to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. And that's the goal. That's God's heart. And it's very clear in that passage of Scripture, is it not, that if that does not happen, there's a curse that comes. And so there's, when that does happen, I interpret that to say there's tremendous blessing. And so that's our desire for each home here this morning. I've really appreciated meeting some of the families that are here. It's one thing to meet a brother, and it's another thing, it's another whole dimension when you meet him with his wife and five young children at the door, and it's just a blessing to see so many young families here with such a high level of zeal seeking God on behalf of our homes. I look back over the journey that we've been on in the home that God gave us. Twyla and I were married in 1979. That's starting to look like a long ways back. Our first child died. I remember standing, we dug the grave, we had the little handmade casket by a close friend, and I remember stepping down into that hole at the little memorial service there at the cemetery, and I they handed me the casket, and I set the casket down in the bottom of the grave myself. And I knew that when I did that, I was putting part of me in that grave. And as I came out and we filled the grave, I had this thought. The highest desire that any father can have for his children is to be with the Lord. I have that desire fulfilled. That was a blessing. I knew that that child was with the Lord. The Lord, since that time, gave us several more. We had a daughter born a year later. She is now 41 years old, and I have a hard time believing that, but that would be John and Katie Hilty there at Bern, Indiana. And I was just thinking when I was speaking to some of these families this morning with these five little children, and the youngest was just, you know, can't walk, it's in your arms. It's not going to be very long until they're 41, and so what does that do to us? And so the time is now. May that be an impression upon each of us. This is your opportunity. And so I would like to just begin this morning by reading, let's open our Bibles to Psalm 127 and 128. These are just a couple of Psalms that mention our homes and our families, and it speaks of blessing upon our homes. And that's just the desire that we have, is that the blessing of God would be upon each home here. Psalm 127 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." I've thought about that verse, I've read it, and it's just an interesting meditation. It sounds like that everything that's done that's good is that the Lord does it. And so what's my part? Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. It just sounds like we just can't do it on our own, which we know we can't. But it sounds like the Lord's going to do it. Except the Lord keep the city. Except the Lord protect our homes. The Father waketh but in vain, you might say. And I was just thinking about that. I heard a saying one time that says, "He who plants a garden works hand in hand with God." I've always liked that. I like a garden. But I would just apply that to our homes. He that marries a wife and has children and has a home works hand in hand with God. Our homes belong to God, but He has given us a responsibility and a part to do. And so I like to see it in our homes that we can't do it on our own. But we can't just let God do it all. We have a part to do. So we work hand in hand with God. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, to worry about everything. For so He giveth His beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And I just think that psalm paints such a beautiful picture of blessing upon a godly home. I'm going to read Psalm 128 also. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. It sounds like blessing. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house. Thy children like olive plants around thy table. Things are in order. Behold, that thus shall a man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. So that's a tremendous blessing there. The fear of the Lord is mentioned twice in Psalm 128, in verse 1 and in verse 4. We want to have the fear of the Lord upon our homes. And I'm so thankful. I don't even know how to be thankful enough to have been raised in a godly home where we were taught the fear of God. It's such a blessing that, and my father's 93 years old. He'll be 94 this year. And he prays for his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, and he has great-great-grandchildren. He does it every day. He feels like he can't do anything else, but he can still do that. And I have wondered how many things I have been protected from in life because of my father's prayers. I don't know how to be thankful enough. I see so many messed up lives. I see so many broken homes. And I just wonder, is there a father or is there a mother praying for this situation? I had that. And I feel like you folks here have that. And whatever we learn, whatever we administer in our homes, let's not forget to be thankful that we have been, by the mercy of God, called to be among God's people to learn these things. And so may the Lord be with us as we consider our homes this morning. I was thinking it might just be good to have a little time again, just questions and answers and comments, where we can just build each other up as iron sharpens iron. And I have a few things that I'd like to share today, but I'm going to be willing to open that up if there is time. And so you be thinking, if there's something that you would like to ask or to share, maybe we can have that opportunity. For today, I would just like to share a few things. I've been thinking, after yesterday, Brother Paul shared just some tremendous things with us for our homes. It was a blessing. If you took notes or if you go back and listen to that again, there's tremendous things there to consider. And I believe some of the things that we shared were very scriptural and very foundational for God to seek a godly seed in our home. So today I would just like to give us some suggestions and reminders. It's probably a little bit different than I had planned for today, but I realized yesterday, we're here, you folks have been taught. And Brother Levi, when he stood up for yesterday morning, he said he wasn't expecting anything new this weekend. He wasn't expecting anything dramatic, just reminders. And so that's kind of what we're going to be doing here. I felt moved to just bring some reminders that could be a blessing in your home. Because we want God's favor to rest upon you. The things that I mentioned here are some things that we did in our home, and I am so glad that we did them. I'm also going to mention some things that I did a little bit, and I wish I had done more, so I'm going to encourage you to do it more. There's also some things that I really didn't do, hardly did at all, and I really wish I would have. So we're going to bring some of those out too, and I also am going to mention at least one thing that I didn't, or that I did do, that I really wish I wouldn't have. So out of the journey that we've been on, out of the mistakes that we've made, out of the things that we've learned, we're willing to share. And so may it be a blessing for you. These are in no special order, but number one, I want to encourage you to read your children lots of Bible stories. I love Bible stories myself. I never outgrew the Bible stories. But your children need to know Bible stories. Think about it for just a minute. We all know how well children like to be read to, right? We all know the bonding that takes place in a child's heart when someone takes the time to read with them. And so this is a golden opportunity that you don't want to pass by. Read to them Bible stories. Fill their mind with Bible stories. Fill the shelves on your bookshelves with Bible stories that they will go and pick them off. I'm going to say this again later, but I'm going to say it now because it fits here. But I believe that the kingdom of God is a seed-planting kingdom. And I believe that our homes are a seed-planting field. And if there was ever fertile soil to receive the good seed, it's a young heart being read to a Bible story. You're planting seeds. That's a good thing. That will bless your home. I want to tell you that Bible stories teach a child, I'm going to mention four things, there may be more, but Bible stories teach a child to view life from God's perspective. That's what a Bible story is. In every Bible story, God is the main character. Who it's about and how God moves in their life is what makes the story interesting. But God is the main character in every Bible story because that's what a Bible story is. They're always told from God's perspective and it teaches a child to view life that way. Read them the story of Esther. You know, while Haman is doing his thing, while the very words were in his mouth, this is what God is doing. You know, the king can't sleep. And so he calls somebody in to read him a story. And he just happens. God just makes sure that story is how Mordecai had saved him. And right then is when Haman is coming in to ask the king to kill Mordecai. It's just amazing how God is in control of everything. And you read these stories over and over to our children. It just strengthens them to view life from God's perspective, that God is in control of everything. Another thing the Bible stories do, they teach a child to weep over sin. And they teach a child to hate sin. You think about it. Read your children the story of Samuel. Samuel wept all night Have you ever cried all night long? Samuel wept all night long over Saul. And it teaches a child to weep over sin. Read them the story of Samson and Delilah. You know, I remember when I was a boy, that story. I would hear it, it would be read to me, and I would be thinking, come on, Samson. Can't you see what Delilah's doing to you? Wake up, Samson. It just stirs something inside of a child. It did me. So I can give you that testimony, and it'll do that, I believe, to your children. Bible stories are a powerful thing. I want to encourage them. The third thing that Bible stories can do is will teach a child to pray. And to pray big. Because God is big. And it will teach them that God answers prayer. Read them the story about Hannah's prayer. Hannah's tremendous burden. Hannah's tears. Hannah's coming before the priest. Hannah's petition before the Lord. Hannah's earnest heart. Hannah's cry. Read that story to your children. And then read the answer. It's a beautiful picture. It's a seed planting kingdom. You're just planting seeds. Good seeds. The other thing that a Bible story does to a child is it builds the child's faith. Read the Bible story about the Jewish maid, the little Jewish maid. That little Jewish maid, we don't know how old she was. I kind of hear 8 or 9. But she knew that there was a prophet in Israel. She knew that there was a God in heaven. And when you read these stories to the children, ask a few questions at the end. Read them the story of Daniel in the lion's den and then just ask them, do you think God can take care of you like He took care of Daniel? Do you think God will answer your prayers like He answered Hannah's prayer? I tell you, brothers and sisters, this is a seed-planting kingdom. And if there was ever fertile soil, and if there was ever good seed, the time is now in your home. One other thing I want to encourage you to do, when you read a Bible story, after you're done reading it, a lot of children's Bible stories, they have big pictures, and that's good for children. But when you're done, when you've asked them a few questions, I recommend you turn to the Bible and read it to them out of there. That just puts a confirmation in their mind that this is what the Bible teaches. That they got it out of their book, they saw the pictures, But it's in their mind now, and it's connected to the Word of God. This is a powerful thing. This will bless your home. I want to encourage you to do little love touch things. I encourage you to have it in your mindset. Think about it. You know, when you're driving down the road, men, business is on our mind, right? A lot of things are on our mind, but our home should be on our mind. You should be thinking about little ways that you could do a love touch for your children. I'll give you an example, and I want to be here like Brother Paul said yesterday. He said he didn't want you to just take this list and think this is what you got to do here. He wanted this to be a springboard to get your mind in action for you to think about things that you can do. So I'll give you a little example here, but there was one night, I like root beer floats, and I kind of passed that on to my children a little bit, and it was kind of late, and we had had devotions, and we had the children in bed, we sent the children to bed, and the door was shut, and the lights were off, and I didn't think they were asleep, but I kind of got this urge for a root beer float, so I got out the ice cream and I got out the root beer and I fixed me a root beer float, and I just thought about my children, and I know they like them too. And I wasn't sure they were asleep, so I kind of snuck back in the bedroom door there, and my son was in the top bunk. I forget why the bottom bunk was empty that night, but I went in there and I said, "Hey, Joseph." And I felt I heard a stirring up there in the top bunk. And I said, I got a root beer float. You want some? Well, I felt quite a stirring up there in the upper bunk. So I climbed up the ladder and I took my root beer float with me and I gave him some bites, sips of the root beer float. We had a sweet time in the top bunk in the dark. It didn't really transgress any bedtime laws, you know what I mean? We have some flexibility here. That's a good thing. That's a relationship builder. Do that for your children. Don't let your children grow up without lots of these things being in their memory. That will give them good thoughts of home. Other special things. My wife is really good at this. I came home one evening after work and walked in the kitchen and I just smelled the homemade bread. You know how that smell goes everywhere. It just hit me and I smelled it. And I could tell there was a supper and a half being prepared. And so I looked at my children, I looked at my wife, and I said, looks like company's coming. Somebody special's coming tonight for supper. Who's coming for supper? And the children were all jumping down and up and down with excitement because Mom had them involved here. So I asked them who was coming home for supper. And it was me. There wasn't anybody else coming home. They just did all that for me. And they're so excited. Mom had the children jumping up and down with excitement. They had the table set so neat. They had the napkins folded in a very almost crazy way. It's really unique. I don't know how they did that, but that's something moms know how to do, I guess, and they show their children. And it didn't cost anything to fold those napkins neat. It didn't cost anything to set the table extra neat. It didn't cost anything to put a little flower in the middle of the table. It's just a love touch. What did that mean to me? It meant a lot to me. And you know what? When you do that for your children, something in that category for children, it means a lot to them. I'm giving you practical things. We're not having really a teaching out of the Thus Saith the Lord Word of God here, but these are practical applications of turning the heart of the fathers to the children. If the heart of the fathers is turned to the children, he'll be thinking of things like this. He's not going to be so wrapped up and entangled with the affairs of this life that he can't think about these things. He's got it on his mind. It's a beautiful thing. It's a powerful thing. I know you can't do these things all the time, but you can do them every once in a while. And I encourage it. Number three that I want to mention here, I'm going to say have family conversation time. And I'm not talking about devotions here. I'm talking about a time when you just sit down and you just talk as a family. You just talk about the day. You talk about the phone calls that came in. You talk about what the children found outside. You talk about what the children learned in school that day. You talk about where they went to town and what they saw. And what billboards did you see along the way? And let's just talk about that. It's just a family conversation to connect and to interact, and so many things, what they found, the billboard they saw, their topics for a teachable moment. And it's a beautiful opportunity. And so I'm going to say, we're not talking about devotions here. And it can be a part of devotions. You can start off, you can have this time before devotions as you sit down. It can also be supper time. It can be driving time, actually, if you're going somewhere as a family, to use that time in a very constructive way. But it can also just be sitting down together in the living room, and it's when you connect about the things that have happened. I remember when our first child, Katie, she had her first day at school, and it may not have been the first day at school, but it was right there at the start. We had a church school, and that's where she was going, and her teacher was Amy. And we were having one of these times here, sitting and talking, and Katie said, she was telling us what she learned in school today, and she said, I learned what 1 + 1 is. And she really thought she had, you know, a real bag of knowledge there in her head. And she looked at me and she said, do you know what it is? And I said, yes, I do. It's 2. And she was shocked. She looked at me and she said, you've been talking to Amy. It was beautiful. We still laugh about that, you know, and we need those times. I think it's healthy for a family to have time where they laugh together. The Bible even says it's good medicine. And I also think it's good to have a time when you cry together. That's okay. This thing about not being a man if you cry and don't cry, everything's okay, isn't always wisdom. Sometimes it's wisdom to just go ahead and cry together. Catch each other's tears with understanding. When you have regular time like this, and I might be crazy saying this, but this is what I think. When you have regular time like this, I think it helps family devotions. When it's time for devotions, you're all connected. It seems like there's just more. Everybody talks. Everybody has something to say. Everybody's listening. You're kind of, all the walls are broken down. Now it's time for devotion. Sometimes when we sit down for devotions, we've had a little problem at the table. We've had some frustrations outside. The mower broke down, and we got to do devotions here before we go to bed, and we sit down, and there's enough frustration in the hearts of the children and the parents that, whew, it doesn't really flow real well. But when you have this kind of time, and so raising a godly seed takes time. It just takes time. So I want to encourage you in that. Number 4 here that I want to touch on, I'm calling this time in the bedroom. I so appreciated yesterday when Brother Paul talked about their bedroom and that they leave the door somewhat cracked open so that the children come in. And it's so amazing to me, why do children want to come into Dad and Mom's bedroom? There's really no place to sit. It's a crowded room. They just kind of sit on the edge of the bed or wherever they can, and you kind of scoot over to make room for them. And I have wondered, why do children like to come into the bedroom of the parents? And I've never done a survey. I don't really know if that's normal, but that's the way it was in our home. And I trust that's the way it is in yours. But I wondered if maybe this isn't the reason that they like it. It's a time when Dad and Mom are both there and they're not doing anything else. And they just kind of feel like they've got you. And so that's a good intrusion. But I'm going to say this. If there's a place where your children like to be with you, you better not make that forbidden ground. You better leave the door cracked open. Dad, are you happy with me? Dad, is there anything you want to say to me about anything? These are questions that Twyla and I heard in the bedroom. That's holy ground. You better leave your bedroom door cracked. The children need liberty to come in. Number 5 here, I want to challenge the fathers here some, challenging myself with everything I say for sure. But I want to challenge the fathers in how you come home from work. How does a father come home? I'm going to say it this way. You've been hard at it all day, right? You've been on the job. You've had challenges on the job, and it was hot, and you're tired, and you're sweaty, and you're not feeling that peaceful. You had some people cross your path today that didn't exactly bless you, and you got blamed for some things, and some things really were your fault. Maybe you had an expensive breakdown. Maybe you got stuck in a traffic jam, and you were late for an appointment. Maybe you had a hard meeting. That's kind of normal life, really. Some of that, at least, happens pretty regular basis for me. Sometimes we've had a really hard day. How do you come home? I'm challenging you. My wife tells me, she says, Dale, if you come home, if you come in that door and just unload everything on me, she said, I've had a hard day too. I've been with the children all day. Your wife and children need dad to come home and comfort them and hear them and straighten things out for them and encourage them and set the atmosphere for a good evening for them. I have a poem here that I would like to read. It goes like this. He wiped his shoes before his door, but ere he entered, he did more. 'Twas not enough to cleanse his feet of dirt they'd gathered in the street. He stood and dusted off his mind. He left all trace of the day behind. In here, I will not take, said he, the grief this day has brought to me. Beyond this door shall never go the troubles that are mine to know. He dusted off the stains of strife, the mud that always comes in life, the blemishes of careless thought, all traces of the battles fought, the selfish humors and the mean. And when he entered, he was clean. I get convicted when I read that poem. There are fathers who come home and ruin the whole evening because of how they come home. I don't want this to be a condemning word. I want this to be an encouraging word. I want to encourage you on how you come home. Could I just read that poem again? He wiped his shoes before his door, but ere he entered, he did more. 'Twas not enough to cleanse his feet of dirt they'd gathered in the street. He stood and dusted off his mind and left all trace of the day behind. In here I will not take, said he, the grief this day has brought to me. Beyond this door shall never go the troubles that are mine to know. He dusted off the stains of strife, the mud that always comes in life, the blemishes of careless thought, all traces of the battles fought, the selfish humors and the mean, and when he entered, he was clean. I don't have a chapter and verse on this one, but I know this is part of the fathers turning their heart to their children. It's just part of it. I encourage it. Number six, I want to mention. I'm just going to say it this way, and I know you know this, but don't betray your child's trust. Be your child's best friend. I like to kind of have that mentality. Let your children know that you want them to have friends. You want them to have their friends, but they need to know that you want to be their very best friend. Tell them. Tell them why. let them know that it is you that loves them the most. I think our children need to know that. If something ever happened, I've told this to my children, if something ever happened to you, your friends would be so sad. They would grieve because something happened to you. But I said, in a week or two, they'll get over it, and life will go on, and they might not even think about it again for years. But if something happens to you, I'll never be the same. No one loves you as much as Dad and Mom. Think about it. And I know that's true. You know, if something happens to one of my children, and I know that all of you would be very sorrowful and sympathetic, and it would just be tremendous the way comfort and all that would come in. But in a couple weeks, life would go on for you. You would actually forget about it. But I wouldn't. That shows how deep our love is for our children. I'm pretty sure I'm right on that. Our children know that we love them the most. Also, if there's some things that you know about them, and it may be something cute, or maybe something funny, but maybe it's a little bit embarrassing to them, and they're a little bit sensitive about it, and they don't want you to just tell everybody about it, then I'm just going to counsel you this morning, don't tell everybody about it. Just let that be something that you know about them, and they know that you are protecting them and not just spreading that thing all over everywhere. Build that trust with them. Don't be a storyteller about your children at their expense. Also, when you discipline them, I'm going to encourage you. We talked about discipline a little bit yesterday, but I just want to add this today. When you discipline your child, do it in private. No matter how bad your child has been, no matter how badly they need discipline, it's always embarrassing for a child to be disciplined in the presence of others. It is a good thing. It is a good way to build their confidence to do it privately. And then spend some private time with them. That's the way relationships are built. Also, if a child needs discipline, and what they did was actually kind of funny, it kind of made you laugh, but really they need some discipline. They shouldn't have done that. So you discipline them, but then when the discipline is over, you tell other people about it, and then you laugh. Just don't do that. I've seen that happen, and the child is almost a little confused. Why are you laughing? I got spanked for that. You know, and it takes the trust level and brings it down. We want to do things that bring the trust level up. Always be thinking sensitive to the desires of the child, what you can do to win their trust. I don't even know how to measure the value of that. Going on to number 7, which is kind of similar, and I've said this so much that I'm kind of getting known for this, but I'm going to give it to you this morning. Always make your love bigger than your counsel. Now that is a saying, and that's not saying keep your counsel small. That's not saying that at all. Make your counsel big. Jesus did with the rich young ruler, right? He gave him some really big counsel. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and take up your cross and follow me. That's big counsel. But you know what? Jesus' love for that man was bigger than the commandment, than the counsel. That's awesome. You can give big counsel when your love is big, but always make your love bigger than your counsel. Try to never let your frustration be bigger than your love. And I'm going to say it this way. You can say this sentence several ways. Always make your love bigger than your discipline. And I want to mention here, I was asked yesterday, what about a situation where you spank a child, he needs discipline, and you spank and you spank and you spank, and the child just doesn't give in. You don't get through. What do? Just keep spanking? Well, let me ask you a question. Is your discipline bigger than your love? If it is, you need to stop spanking and spend some time with that child and show that child some love and show that child some understanding. Don't let your discipline be bigger than your love. If you spank, spank, spank and can't get through, something is probably out of balance. And it's so important that you find out what that thing is and that you fill that void and love that child and build that relationship and build that trust and that confidence. Then they will respond to discipline. I think I can say that safely. It seems like there's always an exception out there somewhere, and let's just not worry about them. I just tell you that that's the way it is. It'll work. If your love is bigger than your discipline, they will receive it. I'm going to say that sentence this way. Always make your relationship with your child bigger than your discipline. If you try to discipline someone without a relationship with them or with a strained relationship with them, I'm just going to tell you it does not go well. I'm speaking from my heart. I'm speaking from my broken heart. You try to discipline someone that you don't have a relationship, it doesn't go well. We find that out in church, don't we? It's also true, really true, in families. I'm just going to tell you. It's back the road a ways now. I don't know if you know this. I had a son leave home. We were seeking the Lord's will. We were thinking of making changes. Changes of a church fellowship. And my son was frustrated with all of this. And he didn't want it. And our relationship was a little bit strained. And I was kind of confused. I wasn't sure what to do. I was praying. I was crying. But I wasn't sure what to do. And something came up. And my son needed discipline. Bad. And I tried to administer the discipline to the boy I loved that I didn't have a sweet relationship with. And he told me later, God has mended that. I rejoice in that. There's still some hurts there, but this is what he told me. He said, when I was getting disciplined at that time, that is when I made up my mind to leave home. That still hurts so bad. I don't want any of you to have to ever experience that. I was confused. I wasn't sure what to do. I'm still not real sure what to do about it. We want to be a blessing to our children. We want to be encouragement to them in the way that they should walk. And so I'm manifesting my own weakness here. And that is one of the things that I did that I wished I'd never done. And you can't go back and do it over. But I remember my dad telling me? He said, Dale, there's no wrong so wrong that it cannot be made right. And those words began to ring in my ears. There is no wrong so wrong that it can't be made right through godly sorrow, through repentance, through apology, through genuine confession, through humility, through a broken heart. We all make mistakes. I'm just going to tell you, you're going to make some. But have the humility that can make it right. We want to build relationships. And sometimes when those relationships are built, rebuilt, I'm going to say, they're stronger than they were before. This is God. This is what God can do. And so I want to encourage you, don't betray your child's trust. Build that trust. And always make your love bigger than your counsel. Bigger than your discipline. They will know how much you love them. Number 8 here. I want to say something about authority. I think I'm going to say it here. I'm going to say this about authority. Use your authority as a tool and not as a weapon. The big difference there between a tool and a weapon. Use your authority as a tool, not as a weapon. Authority is from God and it has a purpose. There's a reason for it. God had a reason to establish it. And I'm going to say there are two purposes. That's really all I know for authority. There may be more, but I'm just going to say that there's two reasons for authority. The first reason is for protection. That's the first reason for authority. Men, God gave us the responsibility to protect our homes, our wives and our children. And the other reason is for direction. For protection and to give direction to the people that God has placed under our authority. Authority is not for position. It's not for power. It's not for control. Now there's some position in it. There's some power in it. There's some control in it. But that's not what it's for. That's not what God gave it. That's not the reason for it. It's a tool to provide protection and direction to your family. You know, I'm going to draw this up here. We've seen this thing, this umbrella thing, you know, so many times. And sometimes I'm not sure that we totally understand it. God is always up here. Underneath God is man. And I don't know how to draw this. You could draw another umbrella right here if you wanted to. And under man is woman. And children. That's all I'll draw. But from this diagram that you've seen so many times is protection and direction. I want to think about protection for just a moment. When there is an umbrella, where is the protection? It's from above, right? You hold your umbrella. If there's a side wind or a side rain coming out, an umbrella's not going to do you a whole lot of good. In other words, there's really not a whole lot of protection right here, like this. And right here like this, this is where the devil comes, always. He knows there's protection here. He knows he can't get in this way. He comes in here, and I want you youth to understand the principle of protection. The devil came this way to the woman. He'll come this way to you. Make sure that's the children there. When he comes this way to you with a temptation, what do you do to honor the protection that God has established? Do you handle this situation yourself? No. That's not where the protection is. Here comes the temptation. You take this temptation. You bring it up here and just bring it down this way. Then you're going to be covered. Think about it. There's no protection over here. You're a sitting duck. If it comes this way, bring it over here. Bring it to Dad. Dad's going to, you know, protect you. Isn't that what Jesus did when He was here? When Jesus was down here, when He made Himself a man, the devil came to Him. He came this way. After He had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. If you're hungry, command these stones that they be made bread. That's what He told Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone. In other words, Mr. Devil, that's not the issue. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of My Father. That's the protection that He had. Do you see it? I hope that makes sense. I want to encourage you. I want to bless you to do that. This is a powerful thing that God established here. There's not a whole lot that can come to you through this. It's for protection. And from that protection also comes direction. This is where you want to get your direction. Right here. It's of God. It's beautiful. I just felt burdened. It's probably about time to close here. To bring these encouragements. I'm going to call them encouragements. I'm going to call them reminders. These things that I mentioned. I'm going to mention them again. They will bless your home. Read Bible stories to your children. Read it out of the Bible after you read the storybook. Do little love touch things. Build that relationship. Have family conversation time where you connect and you release the pressures of the day, setting the foundation for a sweet time of devotion. Time in the bedroom. Leave your bedroom door cracked. That just might be holy ground. Fathers, how you come home. I say again, I'm always convicted by that poem. Don't betray your child's trust and always make your love bigger than your counsel. And be in your place under authority. This will bless your home. There's a lot more aspects to your home, I know. But sometimes we just need some encouragement and some reminders. So I trust this has been that. I think it's time we'll have a word of prayer. Holy Father, You are such a Father unto us. You're so understanding. You're so patient. You're so kind. You're so loving, but You're so faithful, Father. When we stray away, You seek the lost lamb to bring it back. Lord, I know You'd find me because that's the way You are. And I pray, Father, that we would be like You. That's the prayer of this song that we sang, that we would be just like You. And that we would show Your love to our children. Father, I pray that You would answer the prayers of the fathers and mothers that are here on behalf of their children. I believe those are prayers that You love to answer, Father. So we pray in behalf of each home here that You would answer their prayers, that You would move in their behalf, that You would create a new Bible story in their home and stir within the hearts of the children that this is the God that we serve, no matter what. Strengthen our homes. Draw us to Yourself. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.